Thank you, John, for giving us the share in your service this morning. We really appreciate that. This is our Christmas Day because of different situations. We're having our Christmas Day today, and we have all our family here, except there's four more who have a bit of traveling to do. They're supposed to be here today. And then we have a daughter in and her husband and five children in New Zealand. They went to Thailand about 5 or 6 years ago and set up a mission there for refugees coming from Burma, and they set up a home for them. And then a couple of years ago they wanted to come back to Australia for their older children's education, but because they adopted a little baby from birth, they weren't allowed back into Australia because it wasn't finalised, the adoption. But they were allowed to go to New Zealand on a visa there, so they're all over New Zealand. They'd love to be here today, this morning as well, but they can't be here. Thank you to remember what Pastor John said, that after the service there's morning tea. Get all you can eat before you come up to our place, won't you? Right. This morning I want to think about sheep and shepherds. There's an awful lot in the Bible about sheep and shepherds. In fact, it mentions sheep and lambs 330 times. I fell asleep counting them. No, that's a joke. I've read it in a book. 330 times it mentions either lambs or sheep. And then 113 times it mentions shepherds. And we know some of the well-known shepherds like Abraham and Lot. And then there was Moses and Joseph's brothers. Lots of different shepherds. And then, of course, David, who was a shepherd boy who became a king. And then, of course, there's the shepherds that we've been all singing about lately, and we will go on singing until Christmas time, the shepherds, and Heather mentioned the shepherds this morning. But then there was the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. He was the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. This morning, I want to think about a couple of verses that we have in the Bible about sheep. And one well-known verse in the book of Isaiah says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And then it goes on to say, "And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all." The Bible says that we're like sheep. God likens us to sheep. We're all like sheep that have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This is for the adults mainly. I'm reading and studying a book at the moment on the resurrection and really enjoying it. I have been for quite a while. And I read about a man called Scott Peak. You've probably heard of him. He was a famous psychiatrist, and he was a great motivating speaker. Everywhere he went, people wanted to hear what he had to say. He wrote the book, The Road Less Traveled, and that was a top book in the 1980s. And Scott Peak came to Australia some years later, and the place was packed to the rafters to hear what he was going to come up with. And this is what he said, the new thing. He had become a Christian. He had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he said the reason that he came to Christ was that he realized that the Bible teaching about the nature of sin was the only one that made sense. He came to realize this, that we're all like sheep, and we've gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. Some years ago in Victoria I was in a school, and we used to learn a lot of memory verses then, and I asked the children if they would learn this memory verse, Romans 3:23, which is saying this, and to come back next week and say the verse. And next week came, and they came back, the children, at school, and I said, all right, who's learned it? And one boy said, I have, Mr. Walker. So of course I had to give him the opportunity. He just jumped out of his seat. And he got up and he said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And I thanked him for learning the verse. I said, he just spelt one word wrong. It should have been sinned, not signed. But when I went home, I thought about that. We could all, couldn't we, sign our name to that verse. We have all signed and come short of the glory of God. But that's not the end of the verse. It goes on to say, "And the Lord God has laid on him," the Lord Jesus, "the iniquity," the sin, "of us all." We're all like sheep going astray, but all of our sins were laid on him. How wonderful that is. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world on that first Christmas, grew up, eventually he went to the cross. He shed his blood for you and me. He became sin. He faced the penalty of sin. He faced the judgment that we should face. Jesus did that for us. They were laid on him. And so he's the good shepherd. He came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And he pleads with us to come to him, to come and follow him. And he pleads with us, he wants us to come because of what he's done. I heard about this shepherd, it's not a shepherd, a farmer rather, in Scotland. There was a big storm and snow and sleet, and he went out with his Land Rover to see if his sheep were all right, and he went up the hill and he came to this spot and he stopped his car and he heard the bleating of this little sheep, and he got his headlights and he realized that the little sheep had fallen over the cliff and was on a little ledge down below, and so he got down on his hands and knees and he tried to reach down and get this little lamb. But every time he reached down to get it, it would walk out further. And eventually he just had to give in because he realized he couldn't do it. Next morning, daylight, he came back and he looked down and the little lamb had gone down into the valley below. And he said, "I tried to save you. I tried to help you, but you wouldn't let me." And so the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he wants us to turn around and follow him. He pleads with us to come, not to keep going on in our sin, but to turn around and take Jesus as our shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I remember coming to Australia in 1956. I worked at the Olympic Games, my first job. I bought a Bible, and when I arrived in Australia, I said, "I want to turn over a new leaf, God. I want to be different." But I didn't quite know how to do it. And then I hiked up to a place called Shepparton in Victoria, and I went to the employment office to get a job, but they didn't have one. In those days you could get a job easy. They didn't have one. They said, "Come back later." And there's a beautiful lake in Shepparton, and I I knelt by that lake and I asked God to help me. I wanted to know him. And you know, at the very same time, there was a man who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He was on a farm and he was coming in to look for someone to work on the farm. And of course, I was introduced to him and I said, yes, I'd work on the farm for a while. And he told me that he was a Christian. And then 3 days later, sitting in his car, he asked me, did I know God? And I said, no, I wanted to, I really wanted to. And he said something like this, not these words, you need to turn around, recognize that you're like a sheep going astray. And I did that night in the car, and then I could hear God's voice. My sheep, hear my voice. And now as I read the Bible, I could understand this. I said, yes, I've dealt with my sin. My sheep, hear my voice. And I know them. He knows us, each one. He knows if we've accepted the Lord Jesus, if we've turned around and accepted Jesus as our Savior. He knows. He knows everything. He knows if a little bird falls out of a tree to the ground. God knows. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He has a name for every star. There are billions of them. We've got names for about 200 or something, I think. He knows everything, and he knows your heart, and he knows whether you said yes. I know that I'm a sinner and I want to turn and make Jesus my Savior. I know them, and they follow me. Generally, we can tell when people love the Lord Jesus. They love to come to the prayer meeting. They love to read their Bible. They know me, and I give unto them eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. What a gift. He wants to give us. All we have to do is take eternal life. Today we have I know they want me not to talk too long, or John or anybody, because they want to go home and get their presents. They're all under the tree because it's our Christmas Day. I know they're thinking about that. But just imagine, I'm sure some of you other children have presents ready for your family. Just imagine if you had your presents and you said to Mum, here you are, Mum. But she said, I don't want that. Or you gave your present to your dad. I don't want that. Wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad if they didn't take that present? Do you know, last year I went to visit someone down the Sunshine Coast. I was in Bible college with them about 45 years ago, and they moved to Caloundra. And I went to visit them. We had a lovely morning tea. And then, as we were going, the wife handed me a bar of chocolate. And I was doing fun club at the time. My cupboard was full of chocolate. And I said, no, don't worry about that. Afterwards, you know, I've been worrying me ever since that I didn't take that gift that was being offered to me. And yesterday, after fun club on Friday night, where we had over 50 of us all together there, I was exhausted. I couldn't even go out to garage sales on Saturday morning. I was so worn out. I love going there to get Christmas presents for the children, but I couldn't go. I was so exhausted. And I got up and I was having a cup of coffee in the lounge, and suddenly the door is rattling, the wire door of our house, and look outside and there's 6 children. Oh, no. And someone was the spokesman, and they came and offered us a gift for Hazel and I. A gift. I felt terrible. I was so annoyed, and yet they came to bring us a gift. He wants to give us eternal life. Now, I'd love to give all the children a gift this morning, but I'm not as generous as Pastor Nick, who gave all the things out last week. All I have is one prize and one present, that I'd give it to whoever wants to come and take it. That's all I'm giving, just one. And That's all I can do, is just that one present that I'm giving whoever comes and takes it. It's for the taking. I'm offering this gift. Well, I thought John moved there. Whose gift is that? That belongs to him now. He's taken it. And God wants to give us eternal life. And we and they shall never perish. They shall never perish. What a wonderful thing to be able to go to bed at night and know that if we've accepted the Lord Jesus, we will never perish. This time of the year we think a lot about that wonderful verse, "For God so loved the world," and we think, oh, this, I know what that verse is all about, God's love. Remember, one of the key words is perish. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." I close with this little thing. Many years ago, before I was married, I was doing a mission in Victoria, in a town called Rochester. After a few days of teaching, we said, if anyone would like to come back, and we didn't use these words, but something like this, you come and turn and make Jesus your Savior. And many came, but there was one little girl, she came, and she said, I want to turn, I want to become a Christian. And she did. And she went home and told her family. And they contacted me because we used to stay for quite a few weeks after to follow up. And she said, I got a contact from the family, would I come and have a meal with them, an evening meal? And I did. And after the meal, they said that they would like to turn. Not those words. They would like to ask Jesus into their life. And they did that night. I left. Sometime later, he was a mechanic. He went in to study for the ministry. And he was studying for the ministry. Eventually he was ordained, went to Tasmania, other places, and ended up in the Northern Territory. And then he retired in Alice Springs. And our three daughters were teaching at Alice Springs. They all met their husbands there. Oh, by the way, there are two others in our family. They're not quite here. In a month's time, there'll be two more. Anyway, we went up to visit them, Hazel and I. And this man, this father, this little girl, was now retired, but worshipping at the John Flynn Memorial Church at Alice Springs. And when he heard I was coming, he said, would you come and preach? And I had an opportunity of preaching at John Flynn Memorial Church, one of the highlights of my ministry. And you know, it wasn't because I was a good preacher. It was because this little girl had accepted Christ as her Savior. And after the service, they had a barbecue at their house to introduce me to other members of the family who had also been affected by this little girl's decision. And I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, out there in the community, there are children who want to hear about the Lord Jesus. They do. They want to hear it. So we need to pray for Nick and all those who are involved in reaching out in the community. And I leave that with you as a little challenge. Thank you.